Monday evening, everybody. What's happening? How are you? What's happening out there in your world? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, the only award-winning, well, not yet, but soon-to-be award-winning podcast slash live radio program of its kind, talking food live on Monday nights. We are having a great time tonight. However, my other... What the hell is wrong with this? I can't play. So I have two different openers on here. I have the hi-fi one, like the HD open, they call it, and I have the regular one. And my HD one has no play button, so that's why you're having this one right now. It sounds like shit. No idea why it's doing that. But anyway, turn this shit off. Let's change it up. Change it up. Get something new on there. Let's get rid of that shit. Put some new shit on so we can actually talk and sound like it has like a better sound. There we go. Yes, sir. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. What's happening, you guys? It's Monday night, 10 p.m. on the East Coast, 7 p.m. on the West Coast. And we are getting down. That's what we're doing. That's right. We're going to have a great show tonight. I have the one and only bacon minister himself, the prince of pork products, the bacon, the baron of bacon, the prince of pork, the one, the only, Adam Pock from Big Brother, mind you. He's on Big Brother on CBS, makes his return to this program tonight talking all about stuff. He was just at the Blue Ribbon Bacon Fest happening out in Iowa. We're going to hear all about that and how awesome that event was. It looks phenomenal on social media. So we're going to have Adam on here talking. Should be fun. He's one of my favorite guys I've met. Adam is a great guy. He's a fun guy to talk to. And that man knows food and knows how to eat. It's always great to get that perspective because we do have been focusing on the chef perspective a lot. And we'll, of course, probably get back to that next week as well. Great episode last week. If you haven't heard it, make sure you check that out with our friend Dan over at Thimble Island Brewing Company. They did a great job. Their beers are fantastic. I'm looking forward to actually doing some more work with those guys in the future. The beer is delicious. And I've gotten to where now I'm only drinking beer when I do this program. Because if I drank wine while doing this program, I would be shit-faced. I drink so much while I'm doing the show because I talk and I think I'm always taking sips of beers. Right now I'm having a delicious Long Trail Ale. Love those guys. I need to talk to them, get them on this program because they make a fantastic beer. They really, really do. It's one of my favorites, especially in the wintertime. Long Trail Ale out of Vermont. And we did a whole pre-show tonight, you guys. A whole pre-show tonight on Station Head. You guys haven't heard yet. Station Head, brand new app, social media platform. It's going to change the way social media is done. You watch, I'm not kidding. One of our good friends is part of that app who helped make it happen. And it's in beta right now. And as a matter of fact, it's amazing because you make your own radio station, you program everything, all the songs, whatever you want to do. It's based off of Spotify, but you can go live whenever you want. It's really cool. If people know you're live, they'll tune in. You can make your own radio shows. There's a girl on there who's doing a show every morning while she drinks coffee, and she just runs her mouth and talks about songs and drinks coffee. It's very, very cool. Pretty soon, the next update, you're going to be able to like have dual callers so you can take guests on your show. It's going to be great. Eventually, you guys, this program is going to move to that platform, just so everyone's aware that's happening. Phenomenal, though. A lot of fun. You guys want to check it out. As a matter of fact, if you want to check it out, I can help you do that. I have a few, what they call promo invite codes that I can give out. Very limited. I have a few of them. So if you want to check it out, I will make sure to get you set up with one because it's awesome. It's so much fun. We did a whole pre-show for an hour tonight on Station Head. Amazing app. It's just, I mean, who's on there right now? I mean, Ryan Starr is on there. American Authors are on there. David Cook is on there. And the list is only getting bigger and bigger. Takeda, giant metal band from Sweden, they're on there. It's cool, man. And it's going to go live, I think, in February. But if you want to get in on the beta, let me know, and we'll make sure we'll set that up for you. Just shoot me a message on social media. You can DM me, or, of course, you can email me at chef at plumlovefoods.com. Email me there, and we'll get you set up. They go quick. The last time I did this last week, I think I got four emails in the first 10 minutes, and I was done. I couldn't give out any more codes. But the app is awesome. It's really, really going to change social media. You'll see, because what it is, it makes it so – it's immediate. It's even more immediate than Twitter because people are listening to you talk right then and there, and you're going to be able to interact with them. You make whatever shows you want to have happen. It really is. The whole thing is based off of, if you don't remember, some of you guys, it's probably past your time, but there was a movie called Pump Up the Volume back in like the late 80s, early 90s. Christian Slater was in it. He was like a pirate radio station. That's what the whole thing's based off of. It's fucking awesome. And you do it from your phone. Like I had a headset in and we were talking, man, we were talking about casting on the way home. As I did it, I was driving home because you guys know I go right from work to here to do this. But we were talking to all kinds of people, man. It really is fun. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing for artists because you can bite songs and put them on your station. It's really, really, really cool, man. So, yes, hope you guys want to check it out. If you do, shoot me a message. And we'll make that happen. Not too hard. Not too hard at all. You can find me on social media. You guys know where I'm at. Tonight, great episode. Looking forward to talking to Adam. He's a fun guy to talk to. He is a great guy to do eating competitions with. And we're getting closer and closer with the heat wave that's been going around, not just here on the East Coast, but everywhere. Adam is he's been a key guy in helping getting me involved in this sort of stuff, but and introduced me to some really freaking cool people. But with that time of year coming around, it's always great to bring him on and talk festivals and get fired up for that stuff. Because again, this year I'm planning on tasting hot sauce at the New York Hot Sauce Expo as a judge, which is one of my favorite events. It's such a fun event, man. It's funny because it really gave me the whole be able to, you know, smell your food, taste your food, see your food, hear your food, but also feel your food. And that hot sauce, the expo, really, I mean, it was quite enlightening for me. And I'm going to tell him that because I don't think I ever told him that whole story yet, but quite enlightening. It really takes it to a whole different level. That's for damn sure, man. I look forward to it. One of my favorite events of the year, done by our friends over there at, I hate that background music, done by our friends over there at High River Hot Sauce. They put on the event. Our buddy Steve Seabury, he's been on here. Big shout out to my man Steve Seabury. That's my buddy right there. That event's coming up. Great. When it comes on, we'll probably get Steve on here if we can, and we'll definitely do a broadcast there. Or what we definitely will do is be station heading, doing a cast from the event via station head, which we'll know way more about because that app will be public then. But if you want to get in that, definitely shoot me a message. So yeah, things are good, man. I went to a casino this weekend. Haven't been in a very, very long time. Played a little blackjack, kicked a little ass. It was awesome. Had a cocktail or 17. Woke up the next morning. I shouldn't say woke up. I didn't do much sleeping at all in the hotel room. It was tough to sleep in that hotel room. I don't know why, it just was. But I woke up the next morning and for the first time in a long time, I had a bit of a hangover. Just a bit, just a tinge, not much. And of course, my wife looks at me, you know, almost in like scolding me, just in looking. And, you know, I just can't sell it at all. I'm like, no, I'm fine. Totally fine. No worries at all. Totally fine. Everything is good. But I think it's important for, and what I'm trying to say, you know, my wife and I, you know, we don't get to do things together very much between work scheduling and the kids and everything else, but we got to go to the casino together for this event we were part of, and man, we had a really good time. I tell you what, it's so important to do those things, man. I've got to make a point to start making that happen more often. Just to, you know, it doesn't have to be an overnight, like, big trip, but just to go on events like that with my wife and hang out and do more stuff. Because it's fun, man. It really is fun. It's an important part of your relationship to make that happen. So definitely going to make it happen more often. But here's my story. So we went to a great restaurant. I'm not going to name the restaurant. It was a pretty big one there in the casino. And we sit down and it's a nice menu, and you have the menu choices or whatever for each person. And I had a pork belly dish, right? You put pork belly on the menu, obviously I'm going to order it. But all they did, and this is a really nice restaurant, all they did was deep fry the pork belly. So at first glance, you're like, okay, sounds like a good idea. It was like deep fried pork belly. So it looks nice and crisp. It was very browned and crisp on the plate. Okay, that's probably going to be pretty good. But immediately I noticed one thing. And those of you who have ever worked a fry station or worked on a fryer know what I'm talking about. It wasn't seasoned. You pull something out of the fryer, what's the first thing you do? You put it on a thing to dry and get some of that oil off of it, the fat off of it, the excess. And then you season it. You salt it because you can't salt it beforehand because it washes off. You got to salt it after the fact. If you don't salt it after the fact, it's not going to be seasoned. That's when the salt will stick to it. It's nice and hot. And it wasn't seasoned at all. And when I bit into it, my suspicions were verified, and it was not seasoned. Yeah. It was good, but it wasn't seasoned. And it definitely needed to be. 100% needed to be. The dish overall execution was good, but it needed to be seasoned. I mean, I don't know how else to word it. It just needed to be seasoned. Which kind of ended up being the entire theme throughout the dinner. They had a delicious truffle risotto, and everyone knows truffles are a little bit kind of hack these days. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's using truffles and everything. It's a little bit overdone, but listen, it can still be delicious when done the right way. This was a risotto. I didn't taste one bit of truffle. It had little black flecks in it all over the place like it was, but didn't taste it. But then I got this ribeye dish, and you know, it's tough because some people like, I would never order a steak. You're at a place, they have all this great stuff. Well, that's where I'm going to order it because I have high expectations. But I ordered a ribeye, obviously get it rare. And it came out, it looked phenomenal. It was cooked perfectly. It was outstanding. I wish I had it now. It was delicious, delicious. And that makes me happy when someone can actually cook a steak, because I know it sounds so rudimentary. It sounds so easy. But it's one of those things that's almost so easy that you can just mess it up so quickly and not even think twice that you're doing it. But you mess it up, you can overcook it, you can underseason it. The steak was great. It came with some weird vegetable fried, I don't know, whatever. It wasn't that great. It was like a vegetable hash, and it had leeks in it and garlic. And it was okay, but it wasn't where it should be. And again, with everything else here, nothing was seasoned appropriately. The steak was seasoned, but that's about it. But honestly, you know, I can look past it all because like the drinks kept coming and I didn't have to pay for any of them. So if that's the case, I always enjoy it, right? No? Well, I mean, like that sounded terrible when I put it that way. But it was all good. It was great stuff. It was a great dinner. The more important fun part we had afterwards was going out and gambling. And I fancy myself a pretty decent blackjack player, if that's even possible. But why do I keep yawning? What the fuck is wrong with me? It's so rude to do. Went and played a little blackjack, made some money on it, and then I stopped playing. And everyone who was with us, and I stopped playing blackjack probably, 45 minutes after we got to the casino. We were there for like 4 hours. And I was like, why are you done? What do you mean you're done? You're done? I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Because here's why. I don't want the letdown, the feeling of remorse, of regret the next morning when I wake up and go, God, why did I keep playing? And now I have no money. Well, now I'm home. I'm happy with how the whole thing went. I made a few $100 and I'm good. And that's maybe not the best way to be at a casino, but it was fun for me and I enjoyed it. And we tried to get late night food, which was very strange because most of the time these casinos have food all night long. This one did not, and it was kind of crazy. I don't know what the fuck they were doing, but they should have had food off because trust me, they had Krispy Kreme donuts and that shit should have been open until 4 a.m. because me and my wife would have gone to town on a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. They're delicious. They certainly, certainly are. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to drop a tune on you while I get my beer ready and get ready to have a conversation with one of my favorite guys that I've met over the years. He's phenomenal. He's a fun guy to talk to, and he's just overall a really nice, thoughtful guy. And I mean that. That's very, very true. Adam Pock is going to be here next on Plum Love Foods Live. Stay right there. You're checking us out, and we'll see you in a minute.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
That's a great tune, man. That's a fantastic tune, honestly. Like, that's one of my favorites. And I like Living Color. I like Living Color a lot. They're a great fucking band. There's a lot of great tunes that they had, but that one's iconic. That's an iconic song, which I think, in my brain, is a great intro for my guest right now coming on this time. Because in the world of Bacon, you talk about icons. This one right here coming on, he is not only the Prince of Pork, the Baron of Bacon, but believe it or not, he's actually an amazingly nice guy and a very thoughtful human being, a great individual here, somebody I'm glad to talk to again, returning to the show, actually, my good buddy, Adam Pock. Brother, what's happening?
What's up, Plum Love Foods? What's up, everybody out there? Hey, you know, just still living the life, living the bacon life, living la bacon loca. You said it before, it's festival season coming up now, so the next few months are going to be busy going to different food events, and I just got back from the Blue Ribbon Bacon Festival in Iowa, which is always a good time.
Well, man, it's awesome to hear your voice and talk to you again, as always, and you're right, it's getting close to festival season. But before we get into all your festivals, because trust me, I know you can make a whole living just doing that yourself. Living Color. You think they're one of the? Where would you rank them? Because I know you're an old metalhead.
I'll never forget seeing them at the Academy in New York City, probably 1989, 1990. Wow. And Vernon Reid on guitar. I mean, dude, he was mind blowing. Like the stuff he was doing at the time, nobody else was doing. It was. He was cut from the Eddie Van Halen cloth where he just like made up stuff that it's not like he reinvented it, but he invented a style that nobody had done before. And Corey Glover's voice just was perfect. Everybody remembered him from Platoon. He had pipes for days and they rocked it, man. They killed it. you know, I heard that song is coming in on this, and I was jamming out here in my living room.
That's a great tune, man. That's no doubt.
You can't sit still when you hear that song.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And I tell you what, they had a number of good songs, but when I look back now, Corey Glover, man, why does he have to wear the body glove like wetsuit? I got that was you look back, you got to look at that and go, why are you wearing that, dude? What's the story with that?
You know, and back in the '80s, when you look back at what the people in the '70s were wearing and what the people in the '60s were wearing, musicians always been wearing stupid stuff. I heard a comedian say something like, talking about Lady Gaga, like Lady Gaga is taking all these fashion chances. Like, no, she's a pop star. That's what pop stars do. They wear whatever the hell they want to wear. You can't wear that stuff to work unless you're a musician. So you're a musician, right. Wear whatever the hell you want to wear.
Listen, be careful talking about the Lady Gaga. That's my soon-to-be ex-wife. Just letting you know that. But be careful what you say about her. I have clearly fallen in love with her these days. I just simply have. I can't help it. Any woman who wears a meat dress is on my book of good people.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because As I said, I just got back from Iowa, and I have a good friend, Andy Hall, who is on the radio out there, Laser 103.3. And we were discussing the whole Lady Gaga Metallica Grammys fiasco.
Oh, God. Yes, we got to talk about it because you're a music guy. We got to talk about it. I think before we get to that, because you're a great person to talk about this with, can we talk about Megadeth really quick? Megadeth, amazing.
You
won their first Grammy.
Amazing, right? You mean Metallica? Because apparently the Grammys think that Megadeth and Metallica are the same band.
They fucking played Master of Puppets to bring Megadeth on stage. What are we doing?
Well, you know what? If this was 15 years ago, I think Dave Mustaine would have probably beat the shit out of everybody in that band. He's sober now and he's found God or something. So, I honestly have no idea. I mean, I know how that happened. They're like, okay, metal band, start typing in Megadeth, and they got to N and they got to M E, and you know, just play that song. And Metal at the Grammys never gets respected. And that's the other thing too. Dystopia is a great record, but of all the Megadeth records, is it their best one? No, it's like their 15th best record out of 17 records or whatever. But good for them for winning a Grammy. About time. I did like the fact that there were some obscure bands in that category to begin with. So. Gojira, which most people don't really know about. So it does goes to show that there are, you know, other bands out there that are, you know, starting to make a splash in the industry. But that's completely disrespectful. That's even worse than forgetting to announce a band performing with Lady Gaga.
Dude, I don't know. They're definitely up on the same thing. But I had a friend of mine. He's in the music industry. He's an artist and pretty well known, and you know, we were talking about it, and he's like, "Yeah, but Chef, who fucking cares about the Grammys anymore? Like, nobody watches that. Nobody gives a shit about that stuff. Like, you think that's true? You work in the business. Do you think that's true?"
I work in the business. I watch it, it's good for exposure for up and coming artists. I had two of my artists performed at the Grammys this year, Kelsey Ballerini. And she did a duet with Lucas Watson or Lucas Young or whatever, Lucas Wagner, I forget what they're called. And then Chance the Rapper, when he performed with Tamela Mann, who's a gospel singer that I work with. So, for us, that's, you know, it's pretty big stuff. And, you know, Sturgill Simpson, we don't work his new album, but I have his catalog for the people, for the company I work with. So, Sergio Simpson was nominated for one of the big ones. So, yeah, you know, there still is a vested interest. It still is the measuring stick for, you know, artists. Like, when you look at their resume, like, how many Grammys have they won? It's not the be-all, end-all, but, you know, for people to say, oh, well, I don't care about the Grammys, well, good. Don't care about it. That's fine. There's still millions of people that do. If you look at the ratings are still there. It's not like, you know, it's not like it's going to, you know, 2 a.m. Cable station. It's still on prime time on major networks. So, you know, right. people that say that nobody cares about it anymore, they're just jealous because maybe they've never won it as artists, or if they don't, you know, but they're entitled to their opinion, and that's fine. Say whatever you want to say. Yeah. Who cares?
I mean, it's just a different world now for musicians, which, I mean, obviously, you know, but just we got to talk. I mean, I don't want to spend all night on it, but I could. You and I both. I think anybody who's in our age range, I grew up with Metallica. Metallica's the reason that I can play guitar. Metallica's the reason that I got through high school. Like, we all have Metallica stories, and we all have reasons for it. And to me, like, honestly, like, I thought, okay, cool, Metallica and Lady Gaga, that might be pretty cool. I mean, because, I mean, her voice, she's very, very talented. I thought for sure she could do it. It was a disaster, dude. It was a nightmare. She's not even on key. Like, James's mic's not on. The band's got one singer. You can't turn James Hetfield's mic on. Are you shitting me? Honestly, like, that's fucking, you know, James Hetfield.
I don't know if they just didn't have enough time to rehearse, but I actually was also looking forward to it. I mean, Lady Gaga, you know, I'm not a fan of hers, but I appreciate what she does, and I know she's damn good at it. It's just not my cup of tea, so, you know, I'm not going to hate on it, but, you know, the fact that she is such a show person, you know, with Metallica, I was like, okay, this could be kind of cool.
Right.
And you know what? I think even his mic being off was throwing her off, because she was just like, well, what, you know, she can't hear what's going on, because obviously it wasn't even coming through on the monitors, because you see James like looking down at the monitor. So it's not her song. Like, it's a Metallica song that they did, which one of the best from the new record, by the way. But, you know, so she was probably thrown off because she was feeding off of him, and there was nothing there for her to feed off, so she just had to go with what, I mean, and give her credit then for still knowing her lines and her keys and her, cause it wasn't just like one line. It was, you know, the first like minute and a half of the song.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But, I can't give her credit. I think what you do is, and when that happens, clearly, I mean, obviously you're in front of millions of people and obviously the thousands that are there. You look over, you see his mic's not on. Okay, so he's playing guitar. Take your mic to him and hold it in front of his mouth, or sing the verse until they get his fucking mic on. You know? That's what I didn't get. Like, as a performer, you're supposed to do this. Don't stand there deer in headlights. Like, that was what was kind of threw me off a little bit. I'm like, you're Lady Gaga. Like, really? That's what you do?
I think Mariah Carey fucked it up for everybody, though. So whenever anything live, I mean, if you remember the same night, Adele stopped the band and said, okay, no, wait, start over. It's like, I screwed
massive
this up.
Massive respect for that. Come on, massive respect for that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a little different than Metallica, because Metallica's going 1,000 miles an hour, and, you know,
fuck
the band
that.
Was still playing.
Stop. Do you know who the fuck we
start
are?
Over.
Do you know who we are? Turn the fucking mic on.
We'll never stop. We'll never quit, because we're Metallica, unless we're at the Grammys.
That's right. Well, man, it was crazy, and it's tough because we're both just, you know, metalheads that we are. I loved it. I love seeing Metallica. That new Metallica album, dude, I like it. I like it a lot. I think it's really good.
Yeah, I'm impressed with, you know, most of the tracks on there. A couple of them get a little long, but you know what? You spend, what, like 6-7 years between records. You know, you want to give the fans a nice long record, but you know, I don't mind. I wouldn't mind if it was like 10 songs and, you know, 48 minutes. That would have been fine. But you know what? The coolest part of the new record, though, is right before it came out physically, they put it out via videos. They have a video for every single song, and it's not like it's like cheap, like just concert footage. Like, every video is like, you know, different director, different, you know, some of them are animated, some of them tell stories, some of them are, you know, band performing in different spots, some of them are different bands pretending to be Metallica performing. So it's, you know, give them credit for, you know, when they release an album, not just like throw it out there and be like, okay, people go buy it, we're lazy. You know, you do all the videos for all the songs. So you know, and they're really good to their diehard fans, the fan club kids. They get all these extra bonus things here and there. And
that's cool.
You know, unfortunately, I still have not gotten my Metallica tickets for the stadium in May, MetLife Stadium here in Jersey. But I'm working on that. I got a guy.
I got a guy. There you go. Dude, how's the baby? How's everything going with that? I think last time you were on the show, your wife was still pregnant. We hadn't quite had the baby yet, but you had the baby, and how fatherhood treated
you. Yeah, she's 16, 17 months old now, 17 months old, running. And I'll tell you what, I haven't been to the gym in a long time, but I'm still getting my cardio in, chasing her around. It's amazing, like, watching them learn and discover. And yet, like, you know what? If you ever lose anything, just put a baby in the room and they will find it, because I don't know. I look down and I see her chewing. I'm like, what are you chewing on? And then, it's the back of your ear that we lost 3 months ago. Like, how did you find that thing? You know, like, their little eyes, little fingers, they find everything. So, yeah, if you ever lose something, just say it to a baby and they'll find it.
They'll also find anything in your house that can kill a human being. They will find any sharp corners. They'll find those. I feel like sometimes when my kids were little, they would just stand at the top of the stairs at our house and just like rock back and forth and look at me, just waiting for me. And they're like, "Daddy, it's a mountain. Watch what I can do." And you know, they're like, "Whoa, wait a minute."
Yeah, yeah.
It's all death trap.
They have two eyes. I know that for a fact. I examined her. She has only two eyes, but she's got 360 vision. I mean, I leave a cabinet like unlocked for 1 second, you know, in the kitchen, and turn around. Like, I go from the sink to the refrigerator, and it's like a two-step walk, and I turn around, and there she is playing with the cleaning supplies under the sink. I'm like, you were not even in the room. Like, how did you see this and realize that I left it unlocked for that 1 second? If you don't have kids, I know you do, but if anybody listening doesn't have kids, they think we're kidding. No, this really, really, it happened tonight. It happened tonight. I turned my back 1 second. I hear the cabinet opening, and she was already in the next room, walking away from me. I'm like, how did she know I left it unlocked? Amazing.
It's the hardest job you'll ever have that doesn't pay you money, but you get paid the most for. It's pretty amazing, man. I don't know if you remember. I have three. I don't know if you remember, but so
I know. I know you have twins, so God bless your wife.
You got to catch up, brother. Hey, so when's the next one coming? When's the next one coming?
The next food festival, I think, is coming up in April.
No, the next kid.
Like, I was switching subject. No. We're one and done. We're one and done, man. You know what? We're both a little bit. You know, we're both in our 40s, and you know, when we thought about two under two over 40, you got to be kidding me. And you know, we don't want to. You know. And when time is not on our side, you know, it's unfortunate. But you know what? Natalie has so many friends. We have so many, like, good friends who all have babies. We have a crew called the Stroller Mafia, where it's seven different couples that all had a baby within a year of each other. You know, and our good mutual friend, Rev Ciencio, one that pretty much started the Stroller Mafia, you know, go figure. He started a social media group. we get together at least like once every other month, every 3 months, to get the kids together. So now he's going to have plenty of siblings, just not blood. You know, and obviously if anybody that's listening is following me on Facebook or on Twitter at Heavy Metal Teddy, and you see pictures of my daughter, you'll know that like my entire family, her entire family, cousins, third cousins, all come out of the woodworks because she's just so damn awesome and cute, and everybody wants to be a part of her life. So, unfortunately, she also has that kind of effect on the boys in preschool.
Jesus, already?
It started like at 6 months. Her and this little kid Jack had the first preschool that we went to. That's why we had to move to get to a different preschool and separate them.
God, dude, really?
It's not really why we moved. But she did have a pseudo boyfriend, you know, the boy in the crib next to her, and he would pull on her blanket, and the two of them, like, you know, sit in the circle together. And I met his father, and his father introduced himself to me, put out his hand to shake my hand, and I refused to shake his hand. I said, "You tell your boy to say that to my daughter."
Of course. As you
thank,
should.
Thank God. Thank God I think he knew I was kidding. But yeah, we had a good laugh about that.
That's awesome.
But yeah, no, that's gonna be life.
Yeah, it doesn't change, man. Trust me, it doesn't change. My twins are 9 now, and my youngest is 6, and you know I have 3 daughters. And trust me, it doesn't change, but it does get pretty amazing as time moves forward. It does. It gets pretty cool. And please do tell Farrah, your wife, I said hi. She's awesome. I've always liked her so much. She's great.
Oh, I will. I got a good story for you, real quick though, because when you asked me to be on, you know, I told her I was going to be on tonight at 10:15. Which is usually past her bedtime. She's a school teacher, so she goes to sleep early. So just joking around, I'm like, "Oh, you want to join me?" And she's like, yeah. So I was like, okay. So I thought she knew I was joking. Well, of all the times that I'm, you know, joking, all the times that I'm serious and she thinks I'm joking, this time I'm joking and she thinks I'm serious. And she's like, "All right, I'm going to take a 15-minute nap." And I'm like, "What are you going to just sit here and watch me talk to Plum?" She's like, "Oh no, you wanted me to be on." I'm like, "Wait, what?" It's like, "Yeah, you said you want to join me." I'm like, "I was joking." She's like, you could see her get all upset. I was like, it's like, "Fine, I'm going to bed." I'm like, "No, I'm like, I know you've been tired, and I thought you knew I was joking because
you messed up, you know, dude."
But you know what? I got something planned, so it's fine. It's fine. Well, she'll get over it. But So if she's actually, if she's upstairs listening, I love you, honey.
Nicely done. Hey, Farrah, how are you? I miss you. I haven't seen you forever. You're awesome. I think the world of you. She's great. So, dude, now that we've covered all, like, everybody basically just heard you and I do our small talk, catching up. The Blue Rib Bacon Fest, man. This event. These guys follow me on social media. I follow them back. I check out all the pictures. It looks like an amazing event out in Iowa. Is that where you just were?
Des Moines, Iowa. Yes, it's the Iowa. There are more pigs than people. I think it's from like 3-to-1 pigs to people. They're one of the biggest pork exporters, in the United States. This year, they had a group come over from Japan. Because apparently they have a sister city over in Japan. I forget the name of it, but back in like the 50s or 60s, they sent a whole bunch of pigs to the city in Japan. And now like every pig in Japan is pretty much traced back to this group of pigs that they sent over there.
That's crazy.
They just draw like tens of thousands of people. It's like 10,000 people to this event. It's the Iowa Event Center. It's 4 levels of Bacon Mania. The first level is where we did the judging. They have seminars. They have pork vendors, pig farmers. They have like innovators in the pork industry, you know, talking. And then on the second floor, there's a main stage on one side, which has bands performing throughout the day, bacon eating competition, costume competition, vendors, beer. I think there's like 50 different vendors. There's 75 different bacon dishes being served. They have like 8 different bacon distributors. This new one up in North Dakota called Cloverdale. They actually won for best bacon. Their garlic bacon was just out of this world. And some that they
delicious.
Sell in stores. You have Hormel is a big sponsor of it. You have Farmland is a big sponsor of it. Oscar Mayer is there. And then local bacon companies. So and then that's just the second floor. And then the third floor, they have what's called the Bacon Strip. There are 6 different theme bars on the level. It's like, it's a big convention hall. So they just have all the walls down. And, one of them is a silent nightclub. It's apparently this new thing where you walk into a place, you get headphones. and, you know, there's two different color headphones and you have two different DJs and one DJ is doing one thing, one DJ is doing the other, and you're wearing the headphones and you sit there and you dance. And, you know, there's, if you walk past the room, it's completely silent, but everybody's dancing their asses off. Yeah. You all have headphones, and like, you see people that have the same color headphones as you, so you know they're listening to the same thing as you. So you go over and dance with them, because, Captain Morgan had a bar up there, and then that's the third floor, and then the fourth floor is what's known as Club Sizzle. So it is like a nightclub, but they did, you know, the two-step competition in there. They did the world. Okay, this year's theme was the good, the bad, the bacon. So it was all country western themed. So they did the bacon line dance, the world's biggest bacon line dance. I mean, it was probably the world's first bacon line dance, which makes it the world's biggest bacon line dance. But last year they did, they had sweating to the sizzle was the theme, Body by Bacon. They had a lot of like 80s aerobics theme. So of course, you know, big dance in the 80s was Footloose. And so they, at Club Sizzle, they had like the world's biggest Footloose dance, the world's biggest bacon Footloose dance off. You know, it's a great time, and the food is just amazing. People literally come from all over the world, all over the country. I don't have the stats in front of me, but it's like, you know, 30 different states people are, you know, buy tickets. You know, it's basically where, you know, what every other bacon festival can learn from is from this one, because they just do everything and they do it right. And it's so much fun. You know, I love going out there. The first, I flew out there Thursday morning. We did some press Thursday. We had the Bacon Queen pageant. This was the seventh year that they've awarded a Bacon Queen. The Bacon Queen like goes around, Iowa, you know, promoting bacon with the Iowa Bacon Board. They also go to the same people that do this festival do one in Reykjavik, Iceland. So the Bacon Queen goes over there to spread some bacon fellowship. And, you know, the competition for that is now getting bigger and bigger because the seventh year of doing it. So, you know, now the women that are competing for this, you know, like, have been watching this pageant for the last few years. And, you know, the good thing about being a judge is all the contestants now bribe us, and we encourage bribing because it's usually in the form of bacon-related food or bacon-related drinks or alcohol. You're just plain, you know, here's some alcohol. That was Thursday. And then Friday morning we did, TV. Brooks Reynolds, the guy that runs the event, he's doing like 50 different radio and TV spots between Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, I come out there and I do a few of them with him to, at least give him something different to talk about than talking about the same thing all the time. This is my fourth year going out there, and I'll tell you what, it really is. You know the amount of festivals that I do a year, bacon and non-bacon festivals, and this one really is like the Super Bowl of food festivals, because, you know, the level of food is just through the roof. The best thing I had this year was the bacon and cheese stuffed deep fried pork tenderloin.
Oh my God.
I'm not done describing the dish yet, which then they cover with a bacon cheese sauce and serve it on a bun as a slider. But the thing is like three times the size of the bun.
Questions. Anyway, so it's a pork tenderloin, you said, right?
Yes.
So do they slice it, kind of roll, slice it all the way out so it's flat, stuff it, roll it back up and tie it when they cook it? Or is it, or they just put a hole in the middle of it?
No. It's like kind of like hollowed out like a, what is it, a chicken?
Yeah. I forget what. Yep.
But it's kind of like hollowed out, and then it's like a patty. It's almost like a chicken fried steak size patty. That just stuffed with cheese and bacon. And then they deep fry it, and then they put it on a roll, and then pour some bacon and cheese sauce on top of it.
Holy shit. Were you losing your mind over that?
I was losing my mind thinking about it. And then when I saw it, I was in the judges' room for the savory competition. Now, you and I have judged food events together. So imagine the amount of hot sauces that we try every year. Like, that's almost how many bacon dishes. There were 17 just bacon, so strips of bacon, 17 different flavors of bacon. There were 41 savory dishes.
Holy
and there were
shit,
only nine.
Dude.
Yeah, there's only nine sweet dishes.
How many judges?
There were, for the bacon, we had 8 judges trying 17 different bacons. For the savory, there were 16 judges. We were split into groups of 8. The first 8 tried 20 dishes. The second 8 tried dishes 21 through 41. And then after you judge your half, you could go over and try the other ones, but they asked you not to vote for the other ones. Then for the suite, there were like maybe 8 or 9 of us left. There were 3 of us that did all 3. And I don't know about the other 2, but I felt bad for the person sitting next to me on the plane home the next day.
Well, I know how it goes because I've done wing judging with you, and we've walked around and tasted, what was it, 70 wings in like a span of 60
wings.
Minutes or something crazy. It was crazy. I don't remember what it was because we didn't have any direction, so we just went crazy eating wings.
but this was even like crazy. I mean, everything from there was one dish, I forget what it was called, like bear bait, and it was actually bacon wrapped salmon. Which I'm not a salmon guy, but it was quality. The winner was a bacon crab rangoon. Rangoon, I forget how. I'm not a seafood guy, and that one was not in my judging side, so I did not try that one because, when I was done with my side, I went over to the other side. I'm like, well, I don't usually like crab, so. After eating as much as I did, if you like that kind of thing. But I was just like going around looking at the things that I wanted to try. The one thing, like somebody made biscuits and gravy with, bacon. It was a bacon gravy, bacon biscuit, and sausage, bacon sausage gravy. The sausage bits in bacon gravy. You know what I mean? That was pretty damn good. Bacon nachos, there was bacon chili. Then in the sweet category, the winner of that was a bacon maple ice cream with like chocolate malt balls. Oh, so good. Oh my God. So good. Oh wait, one more I got to give shout out to on the savory side. There was a jalapeno popper bacon grilled cheese sandwich. Now hold on a second. Let's break this one down.
I'm waiting.
So you have chopped up jalapenos. You have cream cheese. You have a cheddar cheese. You have bacon, and then you have the bread, and you just fry that up like a grilled cheese, and it's basically a jalapeno popper, except it's a grilled cheese sandwich.
Wow, that sounds
amazing. I know you're a chef, so. Chefs will get off on that a little bit more because you're like, I never really thought of that, but it's such a simple concept. You take, the basic ingredient, bacon jalapeno popper and just make it into a sandwich and like, boom, there you go. Charge $9.99. You'll sell 1,000 of them.
Dude, that sounds amazing. I'm not going to lie. That sounds really fucking good. And that's half the fun about doing these events. You see such amazing food like this, man. And it's becoming the season for it here, and I call it festival season, almost what it seems like to me. But a lot of fun, a lot of great festivals coming up. Our good buddy, a guy you introduced me to, who is one of my favorite people, also the man Steve Seabury. I think we got some hot sauce judging coming up here soon, don't we?
We do. Early April will be theater of pain, as we like to call it. Just all of us get together and just eat some crazy hot sauces. Oh, you know, for those of you listening, we have at least 80 to 90 different sauces, and you know, they break us down into like, you know, 6-7, and we try, like, you know, there's like 8 or 9 different categories, but there's a crew of us that love to just kill ourselves with the extra extra hot category.
If you're gonna do it, right? You know, if you're gonna do it, you might as well do it.
And, you know, it's always an amazing time when I do a Chef Plum, because at least once in the night, either I do it to him or he does it to me, but one of us pours whipped cream in the other one's mouth. And that's perfectly hetero.
That's true. 100%.
That is perfectly hetero.
Completely.
Because you have to. It's like it's saving your boy's life. It's like when you piss on your buddy's leg when they got stung by a jellyfish. You know, putting whipped cream in your buddy's mouth after like the 13th out of 19 extra hot sauces. Where
after
I mean,
your fifth Carolina Reaper.
I've really gone to that different level. Like, people talk about that. Okay. I've been there at that event, sitting around the table, just looking around the table at everybody like, yo, I have no idea what the fuck is going on right now. I am somewhere else. My body is here, but I don't know. It really does. It's insane.
One of my managers, Rachel, who works with me, she came with me last year, and she was like, but we were doing the extra hot stuff. She looked at me and she goes, who are you right now? Because it sets off those weird endorphins kind of go. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, she's not wrong. Yeah. It really does kind of make you nuts.
Oh, yeah, totally. And then, you know, as much as we hate life at that moment, then number 15 comes around and I'm like, okay, time to try the next one. Yes. Okay.
Let's do it.
and then it's great because, you know, when you go to the actual event a couple weeks later, you walk around and you run into like one of the other judges, you just kind of like, you don't even talk to each other. You just look at each other and like, yeah, I know what's up. You know what's up. What's up? You know,
like, it's that nod. It's that like, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Yeah, you know, that guy's cool. When you try hot sauce like that, and you burn your life away, you know, you remember those people you went to war with. And
That's exactly what it is.
Great time. You know,
it's funny. I was talking about it in the intro to the show. I wanted to thank you for introducing me to those guys and getting me involved in that, which was awesome. But more importantly, from a chef standpoint, a culinarian standpoint, you taught me something, sir. You taught me something really important. And I learned it just a couple of years ago. It's important as a chef to see your food, to smell the food, to even hear the food, right? Feel the food. I'm sorry, to smell it, see it, taste it, all that stuff. You taught me how to feel the food. And it's the truth. I'm not saying that in a weird way either, completely hetero way. Don't worry, we're still saying that. But a few more beers and I'll change a little bit. But for right now, that's where we're going.
Right.
But you taught me, literally, after being at that event, when I eat food now, I try to feel it. I try to see, okay, you know, how is this hot? How's the temperature on this? Is it affecting me in a different way besides the obvious senses that the food can affect? But after being at that event, I mean, it really does change you when it comes to tasting food. I'm on a different level. That event put me personally as a chef on a different level. And I never would have done that if I didn't have a chance to do it with you. And it's made me better because I think about that now when I'm making food, which is pretty cool. So thank you.
Thank you for that. I mean, that's the great thing about this foodie lifestyle that we live, you know, like getting to know other foodies, getting to know other chefs, getting to know like different, you know, thought processes through the whole thing, because let's face it, there's one thing that, you know, everybody in this world does, and that's eat. Well, hopefully most of them eat. Okay. We can go there, but that's something that every human, you need food to survive. You know, so when, you know, people are like, oh, I'm not a foodie. I'm like, no, everybody is a foodie because you have to have food and you go to the foods that you like. You know, even that person that eats peanut butter and jelly every meal, every day for, you know, their whole life, they're still a foodie because that's the food that they like and that's the food that they eat. That's crazy OCD, which I'm not there yet. But you know, like so that's something that bonds every single person, but there's so much to learn because everybody's taste buds are different. You know, some people, like I said, I'm not a seafood guy. Like all the food that I love, you know, when my wife and I go out and she orders like this great, you know, shrimp and lobster combo, and I'm just like, enjoy, and I'm sitting there with the big old steak, you know, I'll mm-hmm. share with her. But you know, when she's like, oh, you sure you don't want to try it? I'm like, nope, I'm fine, I've tried it enough.
Nope, I'm good. Totally.
So but that's something that we could all bring, because then, you know, I might have ideas of food or something that you never thought of, and you do it back to me. You know, I just tell you about that jalapeno pop or sandwich. I'm already thinking about how I'm going to do it. I'm not one-tenth the chef you are. Probably one-fifteenth the chef you are. But
stop it.
No, but it so, you know, I'm glad I had that effect. And let's face it, you know, at that event, I've met plenty of people. You've met plenty of people that have, you know, helped us along in this foodie journey.
Well, it's a great group of people. That's the thing. It's a really, really cool group of people to hang out with and just spend the evening with. And I look forward to it every year. Like it's one of my favorite things to do. But to me, it's kind of one of those kick off the whole like festival season, you know, where it's whether it's we're tasting beers, whether we're tasting wings or whatnot. And of course, obviously, probably my second favorite event is obviously the Bacon and Beer Classic, which obviously you're a part of immediately. Like I see your name on the website. Boom. I'm hoping to be a part of this year in some way, shape, or form. Even just come there and do the radio show. It's just fun to go and be a part of that. That's such a fun event.
Yeah, see, like as far as like, you know, bacon festivals, you know, they're all great. They're all great because they're surrounded by bacon. But what makes the Bacon and Beer Classic so good is the setting. It's at Citi Field, which I'm a diehard Yankees fan, and I'll say until I'm dead or until they change it, but Citi Field is way better than the new Yankee Stadium. It's
a great stadium.
It's a great backdrop for a food festival, because, you know, you walk around, you're covered, so in case it does rain, you're still covered walking around the lower level, but you get to look over the stadium. They have the bridge over there in right field that you walk across. The big pavilion in the back where they just set up like 100 different beers. Like, I don't know, there's like 150 beers or something throughout the day, but like that one area in the back, it's just, you know, you have like at least like 8 breweries all serving.
Yeah.
You know, 2, 3, 4 different drinks. So it's like, you know, beer, 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 food, food, beer, 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 food, food, food. So, you know, you do one lap at that place and, you know, you're having a good old time. And then you're like, oh, there's more on the next level up. Let's go up there.
It's great.
Yeah. And
it's such a great event. Is there a different, I know it's the cannibal group. They have a different person running it this year?
No. They've actually gotten a little bit bigger, and they've been able to, you know, hire another like PR firm to help them with the promotion of it. Cause I believe they're doing an event the same day in Seattle.
Two at once, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because Seattle and New York were the first two that they started doing it at.
Right.
But, you know, again, the availability of the stadiums, you know, just happened to work out where they were both, you know, both places were like, well, if you want to do it this year, this is the day you could do it. And they've become such a good brand. This, you know, the fourth year at both stadiums. So they're like, well, you know, we don't want to cancel one to do the other. So we have to figure out a way to do both.
Well, usually I get an email from them, or I can't remember the girl's name who was doing it the past year. She'll contact me. In some capacity, but I haven't heard from her yet, so I was like, it must be somebody new over there. I figured I could talk to Adam, he'll probably know. But it's a great event. You just want to do the radio show. They were really good. Well, I think I sold them a bunch of tickets last year too, which they liked. So,
right. Well, no, I mean, and it, you know, they just definitely have their hands full. Again, both cities, you know, sell out every year. So,
of course,
that's
a great event.
The thing about it is that they don't need to do as much promotion for it because people, you know, through word of mouth. I've done enough, but they're stretched a little thin between the two places. So,
Shows I do every year are the Hot Sauce and then Bacon and Beer. People fucking love those festival shows, man. They love listening to them. I don't know why, but they love them.
Well, because those are both great events, you know, and it's something to be said about, you know, the people that do the events and the vendors that are there and the people that go to it. There's reasons why there's events that go for 10 years and there's reason why events go 1 or 2 years. You know, if it's a good event, people keep coming back. They keep coming back. So, you know, there's something really good to be said about you know, those festivals, which again, you know, another one that was coming up later this year, Pig Island. That's always a good time, too.
It's a great event. I couldn't do it last year. It's a fucking great event.
Yeah, over there in Brooklyn, over in Red Hook. Again, and sometimes it's the same chefs that are at all the events, but there's a lot of different chefs that, you know, only fit into their schedule to do, you know, 1 or 2 of these a year, which is why you need to go to 10 different bacon events so that you can try everything that there is.
You're right, man. You're absolutely right. You're like the best PR guy for just bacon, period. That's what you are. You're perfect for it. That should be your new job. Well, you're just a bacon PR. You know,
as you know, when you love something, it's not you know, work. You know, I have a passion. The passion is bacon. So it comes out. It oozes out of me like bacon fat.
Nice.
You know,
that's sexy right there. That's sexy.
Hey, you know what?
Now I know why. Now hey, I know why you only have one kid. It makes sense now. Completely makes sense.
Hey, you know what? Anything that you cook in butter, you can use bacon fat for that.
Absolutely.
Actually, the sidetrack though, as much as I'm a bacon guy, the only thing better than cooking in bacon fat is duck fat. And as a chef, what is it about duck fat that is so much better than any other animal fat? What is it about duck fat?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you. It just has that flavor, man. I think it's something with the poly something fat in it. That change has the extra chromosome or something like that. There is a science behind it, but you're right. It's so freaking delicious. The problem with duck fat is it doesn't last nearly as long, but it is delicious. You're absolutely right. It's so good on every single thing. And listen, I can run my mouth about nonsense, about festivals with you all day long. And clearly coming up on festival season here soon, we'll definitely be talking again. That's for sure, especially on this very program. But I got to get to those sponsored like spots I'm supposed to do all the time. So, but before I get to them, we all know, everyone knows, you were on Big Brother. You kicked ass on Big Brother. It's one of my favorite shows to watch.
Bro,
I love
well, whether I kicked ass or not is to be debated, but okay, go on.
Listen,
I made it to third. I did something right.
Listen, if you get to third place, you kicked ass. That's good. That's good. Whether, I mean, listen,
that's
you
true,
argue it all day long. That's a hard fucking game, and that's from the guy who's watching it. You've actually played it. That's a hard fucking game. Am I wrong?
You're 100% right. It's mental, physical, emotional. You know, I'm a huge reality TV fan. You know, I just caught up on, because I was away. Last week, I didn't get to see Top Chef yet, so Top Chef is down to their final three. That's one of my all-time favorite shows to watch. You know,
well,
I watch Survivor. I watch all these stupid – well, not all the stupid reality shows. I don't watch The Bachelor. That's where I draw the lines. But,
that's the one. Look, currently, my wife, Kelly – I don't know if you've ever met my wife. I don't think you have, but she's upstairs on Monday nights watching The Bachelor while I'm doing this program. It's like the one thing she actually watches. And I don't know why. She hates it. She's like, this show is such garbage. I'm like, why do you watch it? She goes, I don't know. But it's such garbage. But anyway, what are the chances, man? Are we going to see you back? Every year they seem to bring back veterans, people who've been on the show. We got to get you back, man. We got to get you back one more time. First of all, would your wife let you? And second of all, would you want to?
Even before A or B, A, they have to call me first. I'm not one of these people that sits by the phone waiting for them to call me back. I have a pretty solid life. I have a great wife. I have a great baby. I have a great job. I have great friends on the outside. You know, the first time I did Big Brother was because I really, really wanted to. Like, that was it's my of all the reality shows, that's my favorite. That's the one that I always felt like I could do well at because I am such a social person. And the social aspect of that game is so critical, which a lot of people, you know, do discredit, which is why when you say I kicked ass, you know, yeah, I lost a lot of challenges, so I looked weak, which is why I was so successful at getting further, which was my game plan going in, because it is such a mental game. So the first time was definitely because I wanted to. Second time, you know what, things have to line up properly, but the first thing that has to line up is that phone has to ring from them, and they have to ask me. If they ask me, then
yeah,
I have to see,
that part, yeah.
Then I have to see how everything else will, you know, plan out to see if I'm even able to get there. And if I can, and if things work out and I am able to, and I do go back in the house, I better win because anything less than a victory, it will not be worth it. You know, the reason people want to go on there, let's face it, is the money, $500,000.
Sure.
It's life changing money, but it's not enough money to live the rest of your life on. It's not like, you know, if it was like $500 million, well, fuck yeah, dude, I'd be calling the producer every day. Am I going back? But $500,000, especially after taxes, you're looking at like $300,000. You know, you could do a lot with that money.
Oh yeah.
But you still have to work. You still have to live your life. It's not like I said, it's not like it's enough to, unless you go to Atlantic City, put it on black, or Vegas, I guess, because you're in California.
Let's do it.
You put it on black, and then you put it on black, and then you put it on red, and then you put it on black, and you win every time, and you turn that $500,000 into a couple million. But let's face it.
All right, let's do it. I'm in.
Winning,
let's do it.
The chances of winning Big Brother are better than turning that $500,000 into like $10 million. So,
well, it's funny, man. Listen, I'm not shitting on anybody, but, and I just realized how much time we've been talking a long time already. This is fucking crazy. This is what always happens when I talk to you.
It happens.
Dude, there's so many people who have done well in that program, have even won that program, who aren't doing or in the spotlight or have made as much of it as you have done, and you didn't win. Like, you've done so much more with it than some of these guys who, you know, who haven't won. And I think one of the greatest players of all time was that guy from Rhode Island, the cop. I can't think of his name right now. Right? You know who I'm
Derek,
talking about, right?
Derek. Yeah.
Derek, yeah. You know what Derek was doing the other weekend? He was on the local Connecticut freaking show that I do all the time. Like, I'm like, brother, come on, man.
Oh,
like,
hey, now hold on a second. Let me back you up. So he also was just on a 4-episode run of a show on ID Channel where they were talking about possible other suspects in the O.J. Simpson murder trial.
Very cool. And I'm sure he got his paycheck and did fine on that. But, I mean, it's the ID Channel. I would argue the local Connecticut show probably has more watchers than that show does. But than that channel does. It's just funny. But then you see you, and you're out there, and you're being advertised for these national bacon festivals and stuff. Dude, I think you've done very well with it, bro. You've done very, very well with it, which is why I have such respect.
Again, I knew my niche. I knew that's how I got myself cast. I know who I am. I know who I cater to. And that was something that actually somebody told me when I was out in Iowa this weekend. They're like, the reason why you're so loved, you know, when you come to this event is because you represent us. And like, I'm like, I'm from New York. Like, no, you just represent just like a normal dude. Like, you're
a
just
person.
You are who you are, you know, and you're not like, you know, one of these LA people trying to become famous.
Yep.
You were just you. And, you know, that spoke to a lot of the people at home that watch. And, you know, let's face it, that's what I watch. And when I watch, I usually root for that guy.
Yep.
But I would have been just as annoyed at that guy as those people were at me at certain points in the game when I didn't do what maybe I could have done and should have done to make better TV. But I wasn't
Brother,
there to make good TV.
I was there to win
$500,000. My goal was get to Final Three because then you actually compete for $500,000. And I did that and I lost and I'm okay with it.
You know what, dude? Here's the truth in how I look at it, bro. I was pulling for you like a champion. I thought you were the man. I thought you were awesome. And we were pulling for you here in my house. I was like, that dude's cool as shit. And I said, I want to be that guy's friend. And that's what I go nonstop. And if that's what I want to do, that's what I'm going to do. And here we are talking now. And I text you and we're buddies. So that's the way it goes. But,
it's only because I couldn't get a judge to sign the restraining order fast enough. So I was like, okay, you know what? Fine, I'll be this guy's friend. No, I love it. hello, and you know, now that you know me now, like I'm that guy that you thought I was gonna be. But I appreciate the people like you. I appreciate, you know, people that just don't take themselves too seriously. I mean, we have fun. We have fun. We know who we are. We know what we're about. And it's so much easier. And that's why we can talk like regular guys. And it doesn't seem like we've been talking for 58 minutes on a, podcast.
It's just
because we, I just looked at the clock. But we get each other. We know each other, and you know, hopefully other people think that we're interesting enough and they're listening to us. And you know, when anybody sees either of us and they know who we are and they come up and talk to us, we'll talk right back to them. We don't think we're better than anybody, which again, a lot of reality players do think that they're better than other people, which is why they don't get opportunities to come their way. When if they just just acted normal, they might get it. But you know what? I have enough trouble trying to like live my life. I'm not telling people how to live their life. I'm just saying, you know what? If you're nicer to people, nice things will happen to you.
That's it, man. Right there. I tell you what, I'm going to make it happen. I am going to start a campaign on social media to get you on the next season of Big Brother. That's going to happen. Is that cool? Are you ready? I'm going to do it.
Again, you can do whatever you want to do. Once that phone rings, until that phone rings, it's not a reality. Until that phone rings, it's not a reality. If that phone rings, then it's a reality. So then we deal with it. But I'm not going to sit here and say if and oh what.
I think we have a delay. It's really fucking us up talking. I don't know what it is. It hasn't happened in a long time. But now, of course, I'm talking to you. We have a weird delay. But when the phone rings, it usually brings news. And there's a great news story going around the past 2 days here. And I meant to tell you when I had you in the green room. I do a news story once a week here. It's a short one. What I do basically is we'll play a clip of this news story and you and I will comment on it for about a minute and then we'll move on. Is that cool?
All right. That's fine. Let's
do it. Here we go.
News.
Here we go. It's a quick news story. It's pretty interesting. We all know airline food has always been shit, especially a guy like you who travels as much as you do, going to different festivals and whatnot. Airline food has never been good, but apparently they want to make some changes to it and kind of bring it back to the old days. Check this out.
Delta Airlines bringing back free plane food. The carrier announcing it will offer economy class passengers complimentary meals on certain long domestic flights. So if you're flying cross-country, for example, from JFK Airport in New York to Los Angeles or San Francisco, California, then you no longer have to pay for food while in the air. Delta started charging for meals in 2001 for passengers in the economy cabin to save money, but will offer the service again starting March 1st. Delta says reinstating free food will be a competitive advantage as more rivals offer meals to lure customers.
I mean, okay. I got two things, Adam. I got two things, and then I'm gonna pass the stick to you. Number one, she needs to talk in her real voice. That's not her real voice. That was absolutely the worst put on. I'm a news broadcaster voice I've heard in a long time. And two, I don't think that if you serve airline food, you should even really talk about it. Like, let's just ignore it and move on. We all know that airline food sucks. We get it because we have to. Going on and saying it's going to be a competitive advantage shows just how unconnected you are to society. And the mic is yours.
This is a good point, counterpoint. I think this is a great idea. I think it also does help the airlines because, so you have the option to buy the food, but you don't tell them ahead of time if you're going to buy the food. You wait till you're on the plane to tell them if you buy the food. So they don't know how much food to stock. So they have to make sure they stock enough food in case every single person on that flight wants it. Now, not every single person on that flight is going to want it, so you can have leftovers. And every flight that has leftovers is going to sit. So the food that they're even offering for you to buy is all, a bag of chips or a thing of Pringles or, it's not like fresh food. So at least knowing, okay, we are going to be giving out 100 meals on this flight, they know what to buy, they know how to prepare it, they have it all ready, and it's going to be fresh. Now, is it going to be the best meal you ever had? No. But it's still going to be something on the plane. And also, when you're at the airport, I bought a coffee and a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, and it was $10. It was
$28 later.
It was 10. Yeah, well, no, it was only 10, but it was like, you know, that if I went to the Dunkin' Donuts on the corner here is like $4. So I'm paying $10. So now when I'm at the airport, I'm going to say, well, you know what? I don't need to buy that $10 breakfast sandwich and coffee. I'll wait till I get on the plane and get something that's, you know, it's not great food, but you know what? When you're in the air and you're eating food, it's fine, you know? I applaud Delta for doing that. Because again, I'm an inventory guy, so I'm looking at it from that point of view. You know, not knowing what to have on the plane. How many times does the plane run out of food? They run out all the time. Like, oh hey, can I get this? Oh sorry, we don't have that. When you're looking in Hemispheres magazine, look in the back and see what. You know, what we serve, and you're like, okay, I want that. Nope, don't have it. I want that. Nope, don't have it. So.
Wow. Oh, you know what, man? You bring up some very, very, very valid points there. You're absolutely right. Wow. In my head, I just thought that, you know, I don't want you and I to fly to LA to do an event together. And as we sit here and enjoy a delicious airplane Salisbury steak with mashed peas, just know that when that does happen, I'm not going to share my Salisbury steak with you. I'm not going to do it. I won't share.
No, I thought actually when the first started, like they're bringing back peanuts,
yeah. Which would have been phenomenal, right? I'd be happy about that.
Yeah. But you know, nobody, you know, nowadays every single person's got a peanut allergy. So if you serve an airplane, if you serve a peanut on an airplane in C-28C, the guy in 5. E will be like, I smell a peanut. Yeah, I'm allergic to peanuts. I'm also gluten free, and I only wear left socks. Left footed socks. So,
hold on, my Brooklyn jeans are too tight right now. Let me adjust the bottom cuffs. Excuse me.
So you know what? But I don't know if you saw. Speaking of airlines, I don't know if you saw. This is a perfect way for me to go into a rant. My rant on Facebook yesterday with airline travel. I mean, I have some really big pet peeves in this world, but my biggest pet peeve is the way people act on airplanes. If you have a group number on your ticket, don't try to go on the group number before because that's not your group. Okay.
Why do you make it hard for everybody else? Why do you gotta fuck with everybody else?
And then because in the time that it takes the person to stop you and tell you to go somewhere else, that's two people that could have gotten on the plane. Okay, fine. Now, besides the people on the planes, it's how there are a lot of lazy air crews nowadays. When you see the guy walking down the jetway with a bag over his shoulder carrying carrying like a rolling suitcase, those two things are not both going to fit in your overhead compartment. Okay, yes, you are allowed one carry-on and one personal item. When you see that person, make them check one of those bags. Don't make the guy that's got one suitcase and everything in that suitcase and make that person have to check their bag because somebody else had to take two bigger bags on, but they were in a group before you. And then when you say something to said person, oh, we'll deal with it with the onboard crew. Okay, so you get onto the onboard crew and you look through the overhead compartments and you see jackets and you see like these little square bags that could completely fit under the seat in front of you. And you see bags turned sideways, taking up more space than they should. And I have been that guy on the plane to like start taking things out and rearrange them because I'm a damn good Tetris player and I know how to fit weird shaped things into an area.
Me too. That's how I have three kids. I don't know how it happens. Exactly. I'm with you.
You ask my wife, like when we pack up the car for road trips, I lay everything out in the living room beforehand. And I look at everything and I know what has to go in first, what has to go in last to get everything in that car. So when I see overhead space not being utilized properly, I've done it more than once. One time I actually was told to stop. But when I see people that just don't know how to put put stuff in the overhead compartment, and they ruin the experience for everybody else because their stuff is way more precious than anybody else's stuff.
It's a pain in the ass, right?
But yes, it's such a pain in the ass.
Well, dude, listen. I clearly learned something here, which brings me I clearly learned something here from you, apparently, which brings me to my last segment. And I know you're a radio guy and you remember the old Opie and Anthony, what we played, what did we learn today? It was one of my favorite segments I used to do. So we do it here now. Usually we do three each. We're gonna do two each. What did we learn in this program today? And what did we learn is brought to you. And I could talk to you all night long, but I'm looking at my show clock counter and I've got 7 minutes and 51 seconds left. What did we learn is obviously brought to you by Ergo Chef, and that is a brand new shape of cutlery. We are using this segment to reshape your brain and teach you something new with Ergo Chef Knives. Make sure you check them out, ergochefknives.com, and use promo code CHEFPLUM15 off to get a nice discount on some amazing knives. These are the knives I use every day, Adam. They are amazing, and I use them every day and I have for years, and it's changed the way I cut. I'm telling you what, the rest of my body gets tired, my hands don't, believe it or not. It's the truth. I'm not lying.
And you chop a lot of food, so your knives and your wrists are very important. So
it's ErgoKnives.com,
is it?
ErgoChef.com.
ErgoChef.
That's my radio voice. Okay. Do you like that? Do you like that? ErgoChef.com.
Can I tell you what I learned today?
Oh, you want to go first? You usually have to go first. I should have known when I have a person who's used to talking. Yes, tell me.
I would love to tell you what I learned today. Because I pretty much dominated the whole segment that I've been on. I can tell you what I learned today is Chef Plum loves late night food and walking away from blackjack tables.
Oh, that's very, very true. I'm trying to be smart about it. Listen, they had a Krispy Kreme donuts, brother, and I haven't had a Krispy Kreme donut since I lived down south. I learned that my good friend, one of the favorite people in the world, the Baron of Bacon, the Prince of Pork himself, is a nightmare to be on an airplane with. Apparently traveling with him is a complete disaster. All right, give me one more.
What else did I learn today? I learned that I inspired you in how you view food. I inspired you to look at food differently. For me to do that to a chef, that is a great honor.
First of all, award-winning chef, please refer to me as, and global icon, national treasure. Second of all, it's supposed to be funny. You're bringing up serious shit. But no, that's the truth, though. Yeah, that really did happen. You taught me that, which is very cool. That's a true story. I also learned today that my good friend, Adam Pock, is about to make his return to the Big Brother house this summer. We're going to make that happen. And he's going to talk to his wife first, but that's going to happen. He's going to make the return. Big comeback for the win. He's going to kick ass. That's the plan. Boom. Booming.
Well, there it is. Drop the mic. I can't even top that. That's $500,000. That's a lot of formula and diapers. No, she doesn't drink formula anymore. It's a lot of milk and diapers and cleaning supplies, because I'll leave you on this. So I was away for 3.5 days. In the first 30 hours I was home, I spent about 10 of them dealing with cleaning up a pukey car seat because my daughter threw up everywhere yesterday on the way home after she had eaten pizza, had a friend's birthday party, and then drank a bottle of milk, and then got in the car and got car sick and puked all over the car seat. So out of the 30 hours after I got home, 10 of them were spent cleaning up, taking apart, washing by hand, air drying, hair drying the car seat to get it back together so that we could take her to daycare tomorrow.
Welcome to fatherhood, my friend. Welcome. And guess what? Guess what? The last thing your wife cares about is you cleaning a fucking car seat. She thinks, too, that that's exactly what you should be doing when you get home. You've been out for a weekend having fun at a bacon fest.
You know what? She got the baby cleaned up. I got the car and the car seat cleaned up. And then this morning I had to wash it again because it still smelled like a little bit of puke. And we used vinegar and Febreze. I made this concoction of vinegar, Febreze, and Dapple. And if you're a parent out there, you know what Dapple is. I'm in the basement. I'm like, I think I got the smell. I got it. I got this perfect formula. That's as you as a chef, you sit in the kitchen and you come up with, you know, crazy dishes. Sure. I sit in my basement trying to figure out the best cleaning solution to get puke out of a car seat.
There you go. Listen, I can't lie to you and tell you that I haven't done the same thing in the past myself. It's a true story. I truly
I
have.
I appreciate that.
Leave the windows open all night long. That'll save you a lot of trouble. Trust me.
The windows were open all day today.
Damn, it still smelled bad?
Because I closed them and then I had to put the car seat back in there to take it somewhere. And then the place I was taking it to, they were like, oh, it'll take 2 days to get clean. I'm like, I don't have 2 days. I need it today. So then I had to put it back into the car. And yeah, I was driving down the it was bad.
Been there, done that. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for checking this out tonight. Make sure you check out my man Adam, one of my favorite people I've met. He's a great guy. He's a fun guy, and he is a person who has the best intentions for everybody. Trust me, this man hooked me up with the Faith No More album, and it was awesome. That's a whole other story in itself right there, for sure. You can follow him on Instagram at BaconGrub13, and of course, at
hold on, the Instagram, I confuse everybody. It's Bacon Guru BB 13. There's two B's. It's Bacon Guru BB 13. I know. Bacon Guru BB
13. I just changed it on the show information. Let's try that again. Make sure you follow Adam on Instagram at Bacon Guru BB 13, and of course at Heavy Metal Teddy on Twitter and Facebook. They can get you there too. I'm still learning the Facebook thing, man. I'm not good at it. Long story, but is it just Adam Pock on Facebook, or is it the Bacon Genius?
It's actually King, KingAdPoch, King Ad Pock.
Oh boy, I wish I had known that an hour ago, because that would have been a lot.
Well, you know, the King Ad Pock, that is my name. I know the fly spot where they got the champagne.
Oh shit, there he goes
that's the BC Boys. I'm ripping them off. It's all good.
No, but you did a good job with it. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, guys, let's get Adam on down the road. Adam, it's always a pleasure catching up with you, my friend. I appreciate it. And ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens on food. Let's make sure we get the time. Pac, brother, we'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. Rock on to Plum Love Foods.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. I hear you say goodbye to the tunnel of days. They're never coming back unless you're human. I hear you say goodbye.